Hallelujah. Open your Bibles with me to Luke chapter 13. I'm going to read verse 10. On a Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues, and a woman was there who had been crippled by a spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not straighten up at all. When Jesus saw her, he called her forward and said to her, "Woman, you are set free from your infirmity." Then he put his hands on her, and immediately she straightened up and praised God. Indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, the synagogue ruler said to the people, "There are 6 days for work. So come and be healed on one of those days, not on the Sabbath." The Lord answered him, "You hypocrites, doesn't each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or donkey from the stall and lead it out to give it water? Then should not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has kept bound for 18 long years, be set free on the Sabbath day from what bound her?" And when he said this, all his opponents were humiliated, but the people were delighted with all the wonderful things he was doing. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he's anointed me to preach good news to the poor, to open the prison doors, to set the captives free, to open the eyes of the blind, to lift off the oppression, and to declare the year of God's favor." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we welcome your miracles tonight. We thank you that you are the God that walks on water, who walks through the fire, who changes the impossible things, who calls things that do not exist to come to life, who breaks the mountains down and lifts the valleys up, who makes the crooked paths straight. Now, in your name, in the name of Jesus, we release the power of the Holy Spirit for signs and wonders and miraculous healings in this place, this night. We speak it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Hallelujah. At the end of this preaching, we're going to call you forward for prayer. And when I lay my hands on you, God's going to put his hands on you. And you're going to receive a powerful impartation of the Holy Spirit of God. It was on the Sabbath day when Jesus was teaching in the synagogue. And a woman was there. He saw her. She had been crippled for 18 long years. And she was bent over. The Bible says that she could not straighten up. Do you know there are so many people who cannot straighten up? And I don't mean they just have a back problem. They've got a crookedness in their spirit. They've got a dysfunction in some way in their life. There's something that's holding them back, keeping them from the power and the blessings and the goodness of the Lord. Jesus is in the teaching place, and he sees you. This woman didn't come to Jesus. Jesus went to her. Tonight, the Lord Jesus is coming to you, to where you are, to the place where you are seated. He is the King of glory. He didn't come to bring guilt manipulation. He didn't come to put you under some kind of heavy judgment. In fact, he came to set the prisoner free. That's the good news. He didn't come to bring bad news. He came to bring good news. And the good news is, with Jesus, there's no bad news. That's the good news. So he comes to set the prisoners free. There's nothing difficult. You might say, "But I really messed up because I've done a lot of things." Well, we need to break some curses off of you. Because you see, a curse comes because of terrible things. It comes because of a certain kind of sin. When there's a certain kind of sin in a person's life, then there is a judgment or a curse that will come upon them. You might say, I don't believe in that. Well, do you believe in blessings? You might say, oh yes, I believe in blessings. Well, the Bible talks about blessings and curses. It says, today I present before you blessings or curses. Now choose blessings so that you and your children, say and your children, so that you and your children may live. That's the word of the Lord. He comes to set prisoners free. There's all kinds of prisons. You can be in a prison of vice, of drug addiction, of pornography, of spending money with credit card that is beyond reason, credit card debt. You could be in a place where you are addicted to alcohol or some other kind of thing in your life. Or you can have a sickness. Or you can have an accident-prone kind of thing. You can have strife in your family where there's been divorce and divorce. Have you ever met families that there is a pattern in the family where you see that poverty was in the grandparents and now in the parents and all the uncles and aunts and the children are in poverty? There's a curse, a generational curse there. And a curse is a judgment. It's a judgment because of sin. You might say, well, I still don't believe in curses. Well, let's go to the Bible, because your word is not the final one, but the Lord's word is. And you might need a little spiritual chiropractic adjustment tonight. Just because you're saved doesn't mean there's not still curses in your life. See, on the cross, the great exchange took place. Jesus took your sin that you might have his righteousness. He took your poverty that you might have his riches. He took your rejection that you might have his acceptance. He took your curses so that you might have his blessings. It was the greatest exchange in all of time and in all of the universe. He took everything that was bad about you and gave you everything that was good about him. But you haven't got it all yet. There are some churches who believe that when you say, Jesus, forgive me of my sins, that everything is complete. Well, I want you to know it's not. That's why the Bible says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Sanctification is progressive. Now, on the cross, Jesus did pay for it all. And legally, you got it all when you gave your life to Jesus. But experientially, you still have a lot of mess to get cleaned up. You're on a journey with the Lord and going from glory to glory, from faith to faith. Isn't it true? It's called sanctification. So you have to take hold of things. You've got to learn how to take hold of your healing. There are so many Christians who suffer from rejection, but you don't need to. Jesus paid for it on the cross. But you've got to take hold of everything that Jesus gave you. You see, you just can't say a sinner's prayer and all of a sudden you become just like Jesus. If you tell me you are, I want to speak to your wife. Because I know she will say, Jesus and him, they are not the same. And there's shirts that say, forgiven, but not perfect yet. I'm a work in progress. Well, you see, there are judgments on families that go for generations. How many of you believe in the Ten Commandments? Can I see your hands? Open your Bibles with me to Exodus chapter 20, and we read about the Ten Commandments. It says in verse 1, and God spoke all these words, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt. And then it says in verse 3, you shall have no other gods before me. And in verse 4, you shall not make for yourself an idol. In verse 5, you shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generation. So you see, right here in the Ten Commandments, now you might want to mess with them. You might want to say, well, I believe most of the Ten Commandments. But sewn in to the message of the Ten Commandments, the Lord says that he's a jealous God, and he brings a sin judgment down on the children, down to four generations. You might say, well, I believe in the Ten Commandments. Well, you don't have the right to pick and choose. Well, you say, well, Jesus did it all on the cross. He became a curse for us, it says in Galatians. Well, of course he did. Now it's time for you to receive it and accept it and break all those curses off your life, because Jesus paid for it to happen. So I want you to understand, Jesus did pay for it all, but you need to step into the good of it tonight. Here was a woman, and she had been sick. She was bent over, and she could not straighten up. She was in the synagogue. Jesus called her forward. And then he said, woman, you're healed. Your infirmity is gone. And immediately she straightened up. Now there were some people in the synagogue who didn't like this because it was the Sabbath day. You know, there's people who will complain about miracles. They can see a miracle. They can see the power of God, but they make an excuse. They say, well, I'm not sure if it was God. It might have been the devil. Don't trust those people at any rate. You know, God can use some very strange people. Look at me. God can do some amazing things through a lot of different people. But the question is, do you believe in the power of Jesus Christ and the work of the Holy Spirit? It's time that we don't make excuses. And we don't say, well, what about this rule or what about that rule? Let's just say, here we are, Lord. You know what? He cleans up his fish after he catches them. And it's okay. Some people got saved when a miracle happened in their life. I think of Joy's mother. We prayed for her and prayed for her. She was a church-going non-Christian. And she used to tell fortunes on the side for ladies in the church. A little teacup reading. And we prayed for her salvation for a couple of years. And then she had a heart attack. In fact, she had 5 heart attacks in 1 month. And she went into the hospital and she was going to die. It seemed like there was no recovery for her. But we continued to pray. I was off the next day to a conference of pastors, and I got a phone call from Joy's dad. Please come and see Mom one last time before you go away on this to this conference. Joy and I were just married. I was 21. She was 18. Talk about robbing the cradle. But it was a good deal. So we lived an hour away. We got in our car and we cried and we prayed the whole way. We picked up Joy's dad and we went into the hospital. And there's Mom sitting up in bed looking like $1 million. And Dad was there. And of course, neither of them were saved. And I went in and I said, Mom, what's happened to you? Something has happened. She said, Peter, I want to tell you what's happened. And then Joy's dad would butt in and come up with all these stories. He'd say, well, we cut the grass and I packed the boys' lunches today. And you know, the flesh works against the spirit. And we were there for about half an hour. And this was in the old days when dinosaurs roamed on the earth. So the guard came and said, visiting hours are over. You're going to have to leave. And my heart sunk. And Joy's mom said, Peter, would you come back in here? And Joy grabbed her dad and yanked him out into the hallway. And she said, come and sit on the edge of my bed. She was about 60 years of age. She said, last night, Jesus appeared in this room. And he stood at the end of my bed. And she said, my whole body came out of the bed. And I went towards him in the air. And just before he touched me, he said, you can't come with me now. I'm going to heal you. And I have a message for you to give to Peter and Joy, that they are to preach my gospel throughout the nations. And she said, then I fell back into the bed and Jesus disappeared. She had a big tear coming down. She said, so I've given my life to Jesus. So sometimes you're really messed up. And you get saved when Jesus appears to you. And she prophesied the same day. She lived for another 20 years. She became such a spiritual woman of God. And Joy and I have traveled to more than 40 nations preaching the gospel. Her prophecy came true. But blessings are real, and so are curses. You see, when you pray, God sends angels. He rolls out the red carpet and angels come. They come to bring provisions. They come to bring purpose. They come to bring messages. They come to protect you. They come with the power of the Lord to serve you. That's what happens when you pray. But when you sin, a certain kind of sin, a curse-causing sin, then a judgment comes upon you. No, I'm not talking about every sin. Even in the New Testament, the Bible talks about two kinds of sins. It says there is a sin that leads unto death. And that sin you need more than prayer for. All, of course, have fallen short of the glory of God. But there is a kind of sin that has generational consequences of judgments and curses. And it's when you do some horrific things, some deep ungodly things, you might not even know what your great-grandfather did. He might have been in Nazi Germany killing Jews. He might have done some horrible abuse to a young girl. He might have done it to you. You might have some deep scars in your life. And a doctor cannot help you. A psychiatrist cannot fix you. All the money in the United States of America cannot change that great thing that has come to haunt you and to give you pain and suffering. And you see what happens is that when there is a judgment because of somebody's sin, the door becomes open for demons to attack. A lot of people say, can a Christian have a demon? Can a demon have a Christian? Well, you can't be possessed by a devil if you're filled with the Holy Spirit. But that doesn't mean you can't be hassled. In fact, all Christians fight spiritual warfares. And to the degree that you've opened up your life, you're going to have attack. If you bring, the Bible says, do not bring the abominable thing into your home, lest you become like it. There is a witchcraft spirit that is emboldened in the United States of America, and it's after your children. Its haunting ground is in our universities. It comes through the television and the movies. You might think it's entertainment, but it's after their blood. And there's no answer except he who died on the cross. And you can't just pray a prayer. So many Christians, I know I've been a pastor for 45 years. I know about people who prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and didn't see a shift. But there was demonic activity, and the demons felt they had a right because there was a judgment. Now, what kind of sins bring that kind of curse? Well, let's open our Bibles, shall we? To Deuteronomy chapter 27. And we're going to go through very quickly a list of things that cause curses in people's lives. And then, as a minister of the gospel tonight, I'm going to call you forward in the name of Jesus. I'm going to break off those curses. I remember when we did break curses off of the Oriental church that was led by a pastor from Thailand and all of his students in the university. He was actually a brain surgeon. And the students from the university filled his church. But they were all from China and India and the Far East, from Thailand and South Korea. And I remember after preaching, I called them all to the front, and Joy and I went down the line, and we just broke the curses, and they fell to the floor, and demons started to come out of them. Because once you break off the judgment, demons cannot function anymore. And all of these young people had come from a Buddhist background where they had worshipped idols, and behind every idol is a demon. Every person we've led to the Lord in India, we break the curses, demons come out of every one of them. If they've been into Hinduism, it's not as if some have demons. They all have demons because they've been worshiping false gods, and that's an invitation for a spiritual habitation from an ungodly spirit. So now we look at Deuteronomy chapter 27 and verse 16. In Deuteronomy 27, 16, it says, cursed is the man. Let's go to verse 15, I'm sorry. Cursed is the man who carves an image or casts an idol. That's witchcraft. There's all kinds of witchcraft. Fortune telling, even if you do it for fun. Looking at Ouija boards, be careful of the games that you let your children play. The old one is Dungeons and Dragons. Be careful about Harry Potter. And all those kind of movies that have active witchcraft in them. They might have been written well. Well, I expect if the devil wanted you to be poisoned, he's going to do it well. He's going after your children big time. Once they open up a little bit, all of a sudden, something opens in a big way. And the Lord says a judgment comes when somebody opens up their lives to other deities. In verse 16, cursed is the man who dishonors his father or his mother. And some of you did it when you were teens. You dishonored your mother or father, and you never got it right. It passed, but you might have a problem with your children when they become teenagers. Because there is generational curses. Now you might say, well, my parents are ungodly. They don't even want me to go to church. You know, you don't have to agree with your parents to honor them. You can say, I honor you, I bless you, I'll give you gifts, I will obey you where I can, but I am not going to follow the road of a demon. And I'm going to go to church. But you can still do all of that and honor your mother and father. Don't speak ill of them and only bless them. Because there's a curse attached when you don't. And cursed is the man, it says in verse 17, who moves his neighbor's boundary stone. Now there's a stone that marks two pieces of property. If you move it, it means your property's getting bigger. You've just stolen some land. This isn't just about land. It's about business contracts. If you are self-employed and you agree to do something and to get paid a certain amount, don't move your neighbor's boundary stone. Stick to the contract. God looks at those kind of things. He wants to see that you have integrity, and there's a curse attached to crooked people. Do you know that there are a lot of politicians, hello, who are crooked? There are some who are godly. But there are whole countries where there is corruption. And they have moved their neighbor's boundary stone. They said one thing to the people, but they're siphoning money off. And that brings curses on whole nations. And we read on. Cursed is the man, verse 18, who leads the blind astray on the road. Don't hurt handicapped people. God is their defender. Their defender is strong. If you just imagine up in these institutions where they have handicapped children and those people who have care over them misuse them sexually. Curses come on those families. It is a heinous crime against God and against humanity when you take advantage of somebody who is disadvantaged. There's a curse attached to that. We read on. Verse 19, cursed is the man who withholds justice from the alien. Now, this isn't a Martian. This is an immigrant. Cursed is the man who withholds justice from the immigrant, the fatherless, or the widow. So God puts aliens, people from other countries, in the same category as widows and orphans. You might be a little racist. I hope not, because God doesn't like racist people. He loves people. He made the nations and all the ethnicities. Now, every country should put boundaries on their borders. But when somebody is in a country, it's your place to treat them with respect and justice. And don't mistreat them by giving them lower wages or taking advantage of them, because a curse will come on you or your family. And it can go from four generations. So many people who are immigrants have been treated that way. And it's true for widows and orphans. And then the next four listed have to do with sexual immorality. Cursed is the man who has sexual relationships with an animal. You didn't know it was in the Bible. Cursed is the man who commits incest, who sleeps with his sister. Cursed is the man who sleeps with his mother-in-law. So here, there is incest. There is adultery. If you go to Malachi chapter 3, verse 5, you'll see adultery is mentioned there also in this list. See, there's worse things than AIDS that you can get when you sleep with somebody outside of marriage. Now, I'm not a legalist. I am not a holy policeman. I'm a pastor. I love people. And you can be messed up like next Tuesday, and I will still love you. And if you know me, you know that's true. But I'm telling you tonight that there's worse things than AIDS that you can get from sleeping around. There's a beehive of demons. And the Bible says he who is joined to another becomes one spirit. And all of a sudden, a pretty face can have a demon behind it. And you have a relationship that is intimate. And suddenly there's demons inside of you. And you don't know why everything in your life has changed. And you cannot get it fixed. You have a germ inside of you that's demonic. You say, but I'm saved. Well, a lot of Christians have been crossing lines and thinking because they're Christians. Now, you can be forgiven, but a lot of forgiven people are still really messed up. Do you know some? Don't say their names. And the sexual immorality count is as bad in the church as it is in the world. But revival is coming. Holiness is coming. How will the Lord clean up his church? I've said it to you before. I believe it will come on Ananias and Sapphira Sunday, all across America, when the church of the end times, the one new man anointed church, is about to be birthed. Something will happen just like it happened at the beginning of the New Testament church. One of the first supernatural signs was two people fell dead in the middle of the church service. Ananias and Sapphira. Get ready. I'll prophesy it all over the United States of America. On some Sunday morning, there will be people who die in the services. And if it happened only in one place, it wouldn't be news, because people die every day. But when it happens in 100 churches on the same Sunday morning, in front of the altars, the fear of God will come through CNN. Finally, the fear of God will come through Fox News. They will say, here we are reporting in such and such Bethel temple. We don't know what's going on, but this has not just happened here, but it's happening all over the United States of America. Preachers were preaching and people fell dead in the services. What kind of church is this? And the believers will know. The Bible says after that, not many people added themselves to the church. And then it says, but great numbers were added to the church. Because people who were serious added themselves to the church. And you watch holiness come to the church of Jesus Christ overnight after Ananias and Sapphira Sunday. And that will be the beginning of the new move of miracles and revival and the wind of the Holy Spirit. It will take the United States by storm. It will release revival in Israel, and the world will bring the harvest unto the Lord Jesus. It's coming. You think you're waiting at Rapture Airlines, at the Rapture bus stop, and you're getting out of here before this whole thing turns to a crisp? You need to read your Bible. You need to understand that when darkness covers the earth and gross darkness cover the people, it says, arise and shine, for my light will come upon you, and the glory of the Lord shall come upon you, and nations shall come to the brightness of your rising. This is in the time of darkness. It's not preached a lot, because people just preach in escapism, because they're frightened. But Jesus said, there will be wars and rumors of wars. There will be plagues and famines in all kinds of places. But do not be afraid. The end is not yet. For all these things are the beginning of birth pains. The birth pains. The wars, the rumors of wars, the trouble, the disasters, the natural disasters, the terrorist attacks. And what are they? The Lord says they're birth pains. People start to cry out to the Lord. Intercessors start to get serious with God. And then Ananias and Sapphira Sunday will come. And you will watch the holiness of God. And the church rise up. And they will see miracles. And they will go out onto the streets. And the Bible says in Revelation chapter 7 and verse 9. And there will be a multitude standing before the throne of God that nobody can count, from every nation and every tongue and every people group, from every place in the world. And they will be dressed in white, which is the righteousness of the saints, and waving palm branches. And John says, where have these come from? And the elder who's with him in that vision says, these are those who are saved out of the great tribulation. The greatest revival of all time is just around the corner. I know that this place has been given to us, although it's very expensive for us right now. It's not expensive for God. We have a miracle every day as we go forward. How could we complain? But why are we here? Here for revival. We're here for the breakthrough of God's power and anointing. So, sexual immorality is more dangerous than just getting AIDS. It is a transference of demons from one person to another. See, you might say, well, what about my marriage? If I'm married to somebody who is ungodly, can a demon come from that marriage partner into me? Well, the Bible says no. The Bible says if a sanctified believer marries somebody who is not a believer and chooses to stay with them, that they will be sanctified for the sake of the children. That means there's a divine protection upon the institution of marriage. And it's for your children. Don't be afraid, woman of God, man of God. Pray and bless and serve your spouse. God will protect you from the nasties. But if you go outside of marriage, you put yourself in harm's way. And nobody can help you except he who became a curse for you when he died upon the cross. We read on, coming to the end, we're going to land the plane and pray for you. It says in verse 24, cursed is the man who kills his neighbor. Murder. Actually, we can read in other scriptures, the shedding of innocent blood brings curse. Abortion brings curse. If you shed innocent blood, there's a curse, there's a judgment attached to that. You have no right. If you participate in it as a doctor or a nurse or a boyfriend or a father, there's a curse, there's a judgment. And all the psychiatrists in all the hospitals cannot help you. Only Jesus can lift that judgment off of your life. And tonight it will happen for you. And you can have guilt and condemnation lifted off your life and find healing to your heart. And cursed, it says in verse 25, is the man who accepts a bribe to kill an innocent person. That's a hired hitman, an assassin. If you work for the mafia, and the mafia is involved in assassinating people, and they're innocent, there's a curse on your family. Some of you have had relatives in the mafia. Only Jesus can set you free. There's two other things I want to mention to you that will bring a curse on a person's life. This is Bible. You can argue. You can say, don't do it on the Sabbath. You can make up an excuse. But if you don't pay your tithes, the Bible says you're cursed with a curse. I didn't make it up. You might say that's Old Testament. So are the rest of the Ten Commandments. Jesus doesn't change it in the New Covenant. In fact, the tithing is preached in the New Covenant, in the Bible, in the New Testament. And Jesus said to the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the rulers of the law, he said, you brag and you boast and you don't show mercy to people and you think because you pay your tithes, you're okay. And he says, now have mercy towards people and don't stop paying your tithes either. Jesus talked about it. You can find, if you like, your own personal loophole, but it won't help you. That belongs to God. And you have to trust him in it. You might say, well, things are really tight. Well, it's about time you paid your tithes then. Why be in a curse? Let the blessings of the Lord fact, the Lord says, as Jerry Bogus mentioned earlier, test me in this and see if I will not pour out such a blessing on you. And lastly, there's one in the Bible that brings a curse. And that is if you are anti-Semitic. If you have a hatred in your heart, a disdain, or a negative kind of push towards the Jewish people. You might say, well, what's so special about these Jewish people? Well, in themselves, nothing. Except Jesus chose them. God chose them. He chose their land. He's going to bring his throne there. And you have to bless them. You might say, I don't like it. Well, you're not God. He's the one who's made these rules. And the Jewish people aren't any more righteous than anybody else. They need Jesus real bad. Real bad. I'm a Jew. And I know that without the blood of Jesus, I would be in such a mess. I'd be a smart sinner, but I would be a real bad one. So, bless the Jewish people. In fact, the Bible says, now I'm only joking. It says, bring your tithe to the Levite in your town. So I want to know if you know any other Levite besides me. Seriously, you pay your tithes to the person who feeds you the bread of life. To that ministry, wherever it is. Now, all of these things can bring curses. And curses are judgments. You might say, well, what about when Jesus died for us? Didn't all curses go? The Bible says there's an end to curses. Well, it also says, in the very end, in the last chapter, and there will be no more curse. Revelation 22, verse 3. Because curses go right up to that time for some people. Can you get to heaven with a curse on your life? Yes, for sure you can. Most people who go to heaven are really messed up. You don't get in because of your works or because you're perfectly clean in your own life. You get in by the blood of the Lamb and your faith in Jesus. That's your ticket. But if you want to flow in the goodness and the blessing and the prosperity and the strength and health, get rid of curses. You might say, well, I didn't do anything. I've lived a good life. But there are things that are so evil that the judgments of those things go down for four generations. Now it's time for us to pray for you and to receive the blessing and power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus broke curses. He set the captives free. I want you to hear this now. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He's anointed me to preach good news to the poor, to open the prison doors, to set the captives free, to open the eyes of the blind, to lift off the oppression, and to proclaim a new assignment over your life, to proclaim the year of God's favor. That's why Jesus came. He came to say, I'm changing the atmosphere. I'm changing what's in your home. Are you ready for this? Now, I told you earlier that Jesus made the great exchange when he died on the cross. He took everything bad about you on himself. And he took everything good about himself and put it on you. That's quite an exchange. But now you need to make an exchange. Tonight, you need to say, Lord Jesus, I'm giving it all to you. I'm throwing it. I'm giving it all now. And I'm receiving all of your blessing and all of your goodness. Hallelujah. Are you ready? Stand to your feet, please. I want you to pray this prayer. Hold your hands out. Say, Heavenly Father, thank you for saving me. Tonight I open my life before you. I need more of you in my life. I thank you for all you did for me on the cross. And now in the name of Jesus, I receive the power of the blood of Jesus into my soul. I ask you to remove every curse, every generational curse, because you paid for it. And this night, let it be true in my life. And let these curses be broken off of my children and my grandchildren. I receive your blessings. I choose the blessings of the Lord. I renounce witchcraft and every evil thing. I will only have you as my God. I will have no other gods before me. I will not bring the ungodly thing into my home. I will walk in your grace and in your salvation. This night, I take hold of the great exchange. I receive your blessings in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Put your hand on your heart. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I break every judgment off of you. I break every curse off of your life. Every generational curse. Every dark assignment of every evil spirit. Like that woman who was bound for 18 long years. Jesus set her free on the Sabbath day. And when there was complaining, he said, "You hypocrites. This daughter of Abraham, a daughter of Abraham, she had the faith of Abraham. This daughter of Abraham had been sick like this for 18 long years. And today, Satan, who bound her up, has been cast out." Now, in the name of Jesus, I break the power of Satan's grip on your family, on your life. By his shed blood, by his work on the cross, in his name, I speak the breaking of curses off of your life. Whoa, I speak health now. Now the river can flow. Ha, we've opened the door now. We've removed the judgment. Now the river can flow. I speak God's blessing and his health and his strength and his provision to you. I release it in Jesus' mighty name.